There's a picture painted for us in this part of Philippians 4 of a military guard protecting a person's heart and mind. Heart, the place where thoughts come from, the mind itself. And that military guard is there because of the previous verse. Pray over everything with thankfulness. The other side of this issue that we'll read about in a moment is the amazing purpose in prayer. Prayerlessness is costly. It probably would be worth a study sometime just to look at the cost of prayerlessness. But let me give you two things right now. In Scripture, it says, you have not because you ask not. So the implication in that verse is prayerlessness creates lack. We often think in terms of lack being God's sovereign will for our life, and it's not. It's just lack fills in where prayerlessness exists. Amen, Bill. It's a very good point. Amen. Just keep it up. Stay encouraged. And the second price that I will mention to you about prayerlessness is Jesus taught, he said, pray so that you won't enter temptation. Pray. Make sure you maintain prayer in your life so that you don't enter temptation. So the implication is, if I am prayerless, I will face temptation I have no grace for. And it doesn't mean I am prone to sin. I may resist the temptation, but the problem is prayerlessness created a battle I didn't need to fight. Prayerlessness put me into a conflict, of a war of wills, of decision. And let's just say I win. I make it through. I don't do what I was tempted to do. The problem is because I was prayerless, I actually attracted the situation into my life that was completely unnecessary. If God designs for us to face a battle, it's only because he's already given us the tools to win, and he wants to punish the powers of darkness. It's never so that we would fall or falter. If he allows the battle, it's only that we get to enforce his purposes in the earth. But there's many battles that people face that were brought on by prayerlessness. I'm just here to encourage. Philippians 4. Philippians 4. Let's read some scripture together. We'll start with verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. I remind you, Paul writes this from prison. He's giving us tried and tested truths out of his own experience. Rejoice in the Lord always. I don't know if you've ever looked it up, but that word always means always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing. That's one commandment I have obeyed 100% of the time. Because everything I've ever been anxious over came to nothing. Maybe that's not what he meant. All right. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Be anxious for nothing, but everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There's a picture painted for us in this part of Philippians 4 of a military guard protecting a person's heart and mind. Heart, the place where thoughts come from, the mind itself. And that military guard is there because of the previous verse. Pray over everything with thankfulness. If you look at the nature of thankfulness, it is, I don't think we could overemphasize it. I'm not sure that it's possible to exaggerate the power of thankfulness. Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, he broke it, and he gave thanks. He's about to be betrayed by Judas, and he's about to be forsaken by all 11 disciples that he is now breaking bread with. He's about to experience the most gruesome death anybody's ever faced, not only because of the crucifixion, the scourging, all that he went through, but because of the weight of sin itself that came upon him. You know what it is to sin and feel guilty and shameful. Multiply that by billions of people with millions of sins on one particular individual. When the soldiers came to kill the three on the cross, they didn't have to kill Jesus because he was already dead. Why? Because the weightiness of sin. That's why he said, God, why did you forsake me? Because in that moment, he became sin when it was forsaken by the Father. The two thieves had to be killed because theirs was just a crucifixion. I don't mean to make light of it. I'm just saying the weightiness of sin. He became that which the Father despised, which was sin. But he did that so that we could become what the Father delighted in, and that was the righteousness of God. It was an exchange. So in that moment, which was his most difficult moment in all of human history, in that moment he broke bread and he gave thanks. I'd like to suggest that these difficult moments throughout Scripture are the moments where he sets an example, a model for us that can and must be followed. That thankfulness, regardless of circumstances, to maintain thankfulness in those circumstances keeps us like attached to life source, in a sense. In a very practical way, maintaining thankfulness keeps us sane when things are not going right, keeps us connected to the right thing. So we've got this interesting passage. I want you to look at it again, 6-7, and this time we'll read 8. Be anxious for nothing, verse 6, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now here's the result. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything worthy, praiseworthy, meditate on these things. What do we have here? We've got two verses that give us instruction. The first one is pray over everything with thankfulness. Verse 8 says, think on these things. Sandwiched, those two verses sandwich the promise. And the promise is his peace will protect you. But it has responsibility given to you and me on both sides. The first has to do with prayer, and the second has to do with what we choose to think about. Jesus gave an illustration, kind of a parable. He talked about the human being like a house. And in this illustration, he said, if a house has all this junk in it, and it's clean and it's swept, but the owner doesn't refill the house with correct things, the enemy that once dwelled in the house comes back 7 times worse. But the house in this example is actually a human being. And so here, Jesus says, pray over everything. I'll guard your heart and mind. Now fill the house with the right things. Do you understand that? You can think about anything you want. Nobody has control over your mind. I can think about pink elephants right now if I want to. And I just helped you to do the same. You're welcome. No one controls that part of our life. So what's the issue? Is that when we begin to submit ourselves to the inferior, we allow anxiety, stress to fill our minds with all the what ifs that have no life to them. There's no promise to them. And the enemy, again, is working to undermine identity, first love relationship, and this whole thing of being an authentic representation of Jesus.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you watched this video. I do pray that it's a great, great strength and encouragement to you. And I've got a verse that really is my cry for all of us. And it's Psalms 20, it's verse 4. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. That's my prayer. That's my prayer, is that this would be the season of rich, rich fulfillment. Thanks for joining us.